In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers, Muslims around the world, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And welcome to the Ma'arif Radio English broadcast from City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. The program we are presenting today is question and answer, which is mainly concerned with religious and theological questions and with the presence of experts and scholars. As usual, today we are with you with presence of Dr. Hujjatul Islam Barati, who is ready to answer your questions. For more information, please visit our website at www.radiomarf.ir. You can send us your questions and queries through our email, which is radiomarf@irib.ir. You can also call us through our telephone number, which is 0098-251-291-0551. Okay, Dr. Hujjatul Islam Barati, thank you and welcome to this program again. Would you please have your starting point with our listeners?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I wish all the best for you and your listeners. I'm ready at your service.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's start the questions which has been sent by listeners to this program. The first question, Dr. Bhatti, is about hell. It has been asked by some listener that, is it true that people placed in hell will be in hell forever? Or will be they placed in it for a while, then before God destroys time, the people in hell will be released into heaven? And I think the next question, which is a little bit, I mean, concerned with the first one, is that will the afterlife be timeless? I'd be glad to hear your explanation.
Thank you very much for your question. The answer is depending. It depends. Differs. Some people are staying at hell forever. Yeah. But there are few. Mm-hmm. For sure, there are some verses in Holy Quran that threatens some of criminals for eternal punishment, an eternal stay in the hell. Uh-huh. But it is not for all the people. Even there are some traditions that says, traditions are from Imam Ali and other imams, that nobody is created for hell. So people do deserve to go to heaven.
Basically.
Most of the people, when they receive their punishment, they go to the people of the hell. Mm-hmm. When they receive their punishment, they are released and they go to the heavens. Mm-hmm. But few of them, which have some heavy crimes,
yeah,
and crimes that, for example, has a lot of effects and influence, which
like
is
what?
Endless, like, for example, blasphemy, mm-hmm, like murdering.
As Quran says, like shirk or no?
Yes. And like, for example, murdering people, mm-hmm, or, for example, mass destruction, mm-hmm, or genocide or such as this, it could not be punished with a short period of punishment, mm-hmm, and stay in hell. So Quran says in different verses that some people, at least few of them, which have very heavy crimes, they will stay forever in the hell. They don't deserve to be released and to come back to heaven, which they are created for. So they have destroyed their own chance forever.
Yeah.
But majority of people, approximately 100%, when we accept these few people, they go to the heaven. But soon or late, some of them a short period of punishment, mm-hmm, sustained. Some of them, they receive a longer punishment, mm-hmm, and then they are released for heaven.
Which ones are going sooner? I mean, those with...
Depends on the crimes. In Shia school of thought, we don't believe in the punishment which is compulsory and which is forged or created or fabricated by God. Mm-hmm. The punishment is the natural influence and product of the crime. Mm-hmm. The crime itself produces and creates the punishment. So as much as the crime is bigger and heavier and worse, the punishment is worse. Mm-hmm. So depends on the level of the crime and the sin is committed by the person.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And what about the next question which has been asked there, about the timelessness of the afterlife? Is it timeless?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Human soul is created for eternity. Mm-hmm. It does not die. The death is for body only. Mm-hmm. And the soul goes from this world to another world, from this body to another body, till it rests in the endless life, heaven or hell, as it deserves.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The next question, which has been asked by another listener, is that he or she says that I live in a country where about 90% of the population are Muslims, but there are extremely few of them who observe the Islamic rules and obligations, like five prayers and etc. I will not pass judgment on other people. I just want to ask what happens to people who don't fulfill at least five pillars of Islam, that is, Salat and prayer. And the end, he thanks. This is the question. Would you please elaborate on it?
Yeah, in our point of view, which is heritated from Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam, we believe that faith is containing three pillars.
Yeah.
Has contained three pillars. One is by words. Mm-hmm. Second is by heart, by belief. And third is by action and behavior. So it's not enough to say that I'm Muslim or to write in your, for example, identity card that I'm a Muslim. Mm-hmm. Muslim is the one who surrenders himself to God.
Exactly.
In practice, in action, in behavior, in life. So if they call themselves Muslims and they don't practice Islam, especially if they don't pray, so we don't think that they deserve all of the priorities and privileges for Muslim people and Muslim nations in this world and in hereafter. Mm-hmm. So they are rewarded for what they claim. They claim by word that they are Muslims. So it has a reward. It has a, for example, gift.
Yeah, they receive just some point of it.
But not all of the benefits and interests of being a Muslim. Mm-hmm. Not in front of law, not in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment in the afterlife. Yeah. No. Islam contains all of this. But some people, a few groups of Muslims, a small group of Muslims, they are called murji'ah.
Yeah.
They say that that's enough. If you believe in God in your heart, that's enough. Mm-hmm. You are Muslim, you are rescued, you are you have salvation, you have everything. And it is not true. Uh-huh. According to Islam, according to Quran, even the Holy Quran says, لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيَّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيَّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. It is not as you wish, and it is not like people of the book, means Jews and Christians, wish that because they name themselves by these names, they would be people of the heaven. Mm-hmm. No, man ya'mal su'an yujza bih. Everybody who commits a crime will be punished.
Will be punished. Okay, thank you. Dear listeners, you are listening to Question and Answer from Radio Maarif, Islamic Republic of Iran. Stay with us, please. Mr. Bharati, the next question which has been asked is about hijab and covering. It has been asked that, I think it must be asked from a she, that one that says, I want to know about the wearing of veil, if it is completely obligatory. She wants to know that if it is obligatory or not. Friends of her said that and argued her that women do not necessarily have to wear hijab, and that is only for the protection. If they feel that they need to use it, is this notion correct, firstly? And then, if not, what is the significance and philosophy of hijab? I'd be glad to hear your explanations.
There is here a mistake. They made it. The mistake is between reason of the decree in Islam or philosophy of the decree.
Yeah.
There is, for example, a decree, a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called wearing hijab for women.
Yeah.
So when we try to, for example, argue for it or philosophize it, we say that, yes, hijab is good for your protection. Hijab is not a kind of confining and limitation for you. Hijab is to protect you. But this is not the only reason for hijab to be protected. When you are protected, you don't need to hijab. No. Hijab is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either we understand the philosophy of it or we don't understand. We can understand 100% of its philosophy or less or completely. We should, and we are obliged, our women are obliged to wear hijab. This is a part of Islam. This is a part of being a Muslim, being surrendered to God. So yes, somebody can try to argue, to find some reasons, some benefits, some interests of hijab, and somebody cannot. But no difference, no importance. It should be it is obliged to be fulfilled, to be followed, to be people have to follow and to obey commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either they understand why or not. This is iman. This is faith. Faith is not science. It's not philosophy. Philosophy, if you understand the argumentation, you accept it. If not, but when you accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence and prophecy of the Prophet, and this is the revelation and this is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you come to confess, then you come to admit, to admit to this religion, to this path, to this way of life. You say, you make a kind of accord with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, because I believed in you and in your prophet and in your religion, I obey what you say. Either I understand why and for what you have ordered me to do this and you have prohibited me to not to do that, or not. So this is obedience, not philosophy, not science.
And it goes somehow under the continuation of the notion of having a purified intention. Don't you think like this? It was explained in your previous questions that you said we have three pillars of Islam. One is intention, one is action. I mean, we hear it from here and there that people said, okay, our intentions are purified, that's okay. So if we believe that Allah, we don't make mistake, that is okay with us. So we don't need to cover hijab. And I think it has something to do with this. And this is a current issue among these people, don't you think so?
Yes, and maybe some believe in it, even some religions, some schools of thought in Islam, minority, I told you, like Murji'a. Yeah. But our leaders, our saints, imams, have noticed us, please be careful and don't follow these people. You have to understand Islam as Prophet, peace be upon him, has explained. He explained Islam with three pillars, intention, and admission and practice.
Three pillars should be observed altogether. Okay, thank you, Dr. Bharati. The next question which has been asked is the belief in imamate of our first imam, Imam Ali, peace be upon him. It has been asked that is the belief that Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is infallible an essential part of Shia faith?
Of course.
Yeah.
The idea of ismat, of infallibility of imams and prophet, peace be upon him, is a part of Shia school of thought. And everybody knows that Shiites are recognized from other groups of Muslims by this idea, by this creed and belief.
Yeah.
So without that, we cannot call ourselves Shiites. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you. You are still stuck with the question and answer from Radio Maariv. Stay with us, please. The next question, which has been asked, is again about the Imam Ali. The question is exactly as it has been mentioned here. Is the belief that Imam Ali's status higher than any other creatures, like humans, jinns, angels, and especially prophets, except the last prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, an essential belief of Shia sect, or no? Would you please elaborate on it?
Of course. This is also an essential part of Shia school of thought. Mm-hmm. Even Sheikh al-Mufid, which was living about 1,000 years ago, he died in 1413 after Hijrah. He writes in his book, Awa'il al-Maqalat, fi al-Madhahib wal-Mukhtarat, that nobody deserves the name of Shia but those who believe in this, mm-hmm. believe that Imam Ali is higher and better of everybody but Prophet, peace be upon him, in the world. Yeah. Because Prophet himself is like this. Prophet himself is higher and more significant than everybody, than all of the prophets, all of the saints, all of the angels, creatures. And Imam Ali is, according to Quran, there is a clear notion in Quran says that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the soul of Prophet. Mm-hmm. So if Imam Ali alayhi salam is the soul of Prophet, so he is equal,
as it says, anfusana wa anfusak,
anfusana wa anfusak, equal to him. But the prophecy makes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam higher than Imam Ali. Mm-hmm. Imam Ali does not have the prophecy, but in other privileges, qualifications, all of the significances that Prophet, peace be upon him, has, Imam Ali alayhi salam also possesses it. Mm-hmm. They are equal. Only the thing that makes Prophet higher than Imam Ali alayhi salam is the qualification of prophecy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. It has been asked that, is Imam Mahdi, the last Imam, living among us? How is Imam Mahdi's life?
Yes, according to the traditions, which are very numerous and mm-hmm. making us sure, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is living in this world, among the people, among the population of the world, but in an unknown way. He could not be recognized. Nobody can know him personally. Yeah. This person is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Rather than this, Imam Mahdi has an ordinary life, living with people. Even maybe comes to our cities, to our gatherings, to our masses, but we cannot recognize him mm-hmm. as a person. He has not another life, for example, in another world, in another planet, in the heaven, or like they have told about Jesus Christ, that he is living in the skies, in the heaven. Heavens, and then he will come to the earth when he emerges. No, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is living in this planet.
How people are getting connected with him?
No way to connecting with him. Especially when you connect to him, you know him. Mm-hmm. Maybe you contact with him, you connect him. Later on, you can guess that this person was Imam Mahdi, probably. But there is no way for ordinary people to know him in person and contact with him in person. Because if they claim this, we have to deny it. If somebody came to us and told, I have met Imam Mahdi, for example, last night, yesterday, personally, he ordered me this and that, we should
reject
this and deny it and don't accept it.
La ilaha illallah, al-malik al-haq. المبين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين.
The next question which has been asked is about hypnotism. The listener wants to know, what is the Islamic viewpoint about hypnotism?
Hypnotism is probably unlawful. in Islam, because there is no way for you to disable a person's intellect and will and, for example, freedom.
And to know about someone's wishes.
Maybe it is very possible that it makes the conditions ready for abuse of this person, and to prevent him and to disable him from using his intellect and freedom and free will and freedom of speech. Maybe in this situation he makes some mistakes, or, for example, clears some of secrets, or makes some scandals for himself or herself or others. So it is like drinking wine. Mm-hmm. When somebody is drunk, says something or does something that if he was aware, he never did it. Mm-hmm. So making a person disabled in this way is not halal, but in some exceptionary conditions.
But they are not, I mean, necessarily disabling people in this case. Someone is, sometimes it is used as curing techniques.
When you make somebody, you hypnotize somebody, it is like when you make him drunk. For example, make him unaware.
Isn't there any difference between the kind of hypnotism that doctors, physicians, I mean, are using and practicing? And is it, as you said, unlawful as well or no?
I know. It should be, for example, judged like when you give somebody drug and make him unaware in the hospital, or drinking wine, or giving somebody wine to drink. If it is lawful, that is lawful also. For example, in some conditions, some treatment conditions, they make people unaware, you know. But it is necessary, because it is very hard for the patient to suffer from the pain and so on. So they make him unaware to be able to do the operation, the physical operation. So if it is meant like this, no problem. But if we do it without any cause, without any, for example, usage or any reason, lawful reason, it is not valid, because a man should gain his awareness, his intellect, his wisdom
all the time
with him. It is all of the decrees and law and regulations are based on awareness and intellect and wisdom. So even when the person is not wise, he has no duty. He has no, for example, obligation. It's like a mad person or a crazy person.
Very true.
It is not in Islam validated to, for example, disable this awareness, this, for example, wisdom.
Okay.
It's not possible. But I say, if, for example, they want to do a heart operation for somebody, it is not possible to do this in this way. Pain and problems are so much, so they make him unaware by drugs.
So in this case, it can be accepted.
As you told, for treatment, maybe. If there is no way for treatment but this, it is valid, because there is a purpose for it.
Of course.
There is a goal, positive goal for it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your listening. We are still with you with the question and answer. Dr. Bharati, the next question which has been asked is about democracy. What is the Islamic viewpoint on democracy? Is democracy accepted by Islam or no?
Why not? But real democracy, we don't find it now in this world. Very few.
Democracy, can we call it theocracy or no?
There is an idiom. Only we hear words and idioms and expressions. Theocracy, democracy, oligarchy. People should be consulted in their affairs, in their own affairs. But unfortunately, the present democracy is not democracy. It's better to be called demagogy.
Democracy.
Democracy, when we ask them what is democracy, they say ruling of people of a street. People of the street, they, for example, decide and make determination and make will and decision for their own life.
Yeah.
They vote. they, for example, give their own authority to somebody and ask him to do so and so and so. It is like a kind of lawyer. Yeah. You give him right and authority to defend your rights.
Mm-hmm.
This is democracy, when we ask them. Yeah. Basically, in the terminology, lexicons, and, for example, dictionaries, they explain democracy in this way for us. But later on, when we come to the sense of practice, we find that, no, there are millions of people governed and directed by a small group,
mm-hmm.
like about
lobbies,
how many, for example, hundreds or like this, in one powerful country like Washington, D.C., America, or London, or here, or there, they gather there and they determine, they make decision for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
This is not democracy. Who gave them this authority? Who gave them this right to decide for us? Without our participation, without our consultation. So this is a kind of dictatorship done in the name of democracy. This is deceiving people and fooling them and opposing on them will of a small group and naming it democracy. But if there is real democracy, Islam supports
it. What is the real democracy?
Democracy is meant when there is a free government. Officials are elected by people, really. After they are elected, they consult people. They are representing interests of people. What is we don't observe in these modern democracies.
Mm-hmm.
Even in best conditions, we don't find it. Especially the famous democracies now in the West, like American democracy or some other countries, mm-hmm. which are famous for their democracy and they want to be models mm-hmm. for other countries.
So what is the framework, Islamic framework for this democracy?
Islam, regulations of Islam, because democracy needs to a frame, as you told. Regulations are necessary.
Yeah.
People do govern upon other people by this frame, by this frame, which is frame of regulations and law and
principles.
Legal systems. This legal system should be taken from Islam. There is no doubt in it. So all of the democracies, they have a framework, they have a forum, which people do deal with each other according to this ruling and system, legal system. In Islamic democracy, legal system should be Islam, because the governor and the governed, they agree, they want to deal with each other, inside this frame. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than that, yes, because they are believing in God, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers government and state necessary for the society. You know that Imam Ali alayhi salam, what answered Khawarij when they were chanting and shooting some slogans that La hukma illa lillah, there is no government by Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't need government, but Allah, Allah is enough for us to govern. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, yes, this is true, but they do mean a false meaning of it, because this verse of Quran does not mean that Islamic society should be without government. People need amir. People need commander.
Yeah.
People need leader. People need, for example, governor.
That's true,
But this governor could be a good governor, could be a bad governor.
Mm-hmm.
By anyway, they need a governor.
Yeah.
Anarchism is not accepted in Islam by any way, in any time. Islam never accepts this kind of system, anarchism. Not in ethics, not in values, not in regulations, not in practice and execution. So when a system is needed, a system needs two commander. As Imam Ali al-Islam told, لا بد للناس من أمير بر أو فاجر. People need a governor, either good or bad. Okay, so this governor should be a Muslim, for sure. And should be the most faithful Muslim in Islam. Yeah. Because if there is a better person than him, he has no right to govern people. Okay?
Yeah.
This is a faithful person. The audience, the mass, the people are also Muslims. The framework is Islam. In this time, they do consultation. We want to fulfill Islam. We want to execute rulings of Islam, legislation of Islam. How we can practice it, how we can execute it, implement it, then they do consultation. First of all, for appointing this person, all people gather and vote and consult who is better. And when he is appointed, after his appointment, then they give him idea, and he asks idea of people, how to defend the interest of people, how to do his duty, like a lawyer. When the lawyer is hired, after he is hired, he continuously makes consultation with the person made him his lawyer and his defender, because he is really going to defend rights of this person. But in this present system, we find after the in the time of voting, most of people don't participate. Maybe sometimes more than 50% of the population, they don't participate in voting.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is supposed that the president is representative of only half of the population. We come to this half of the population. Most of them, they don't give vote to this person. Majority of them don't vote to this person. We suppose they voted to him. When he goes to the office, for example, to the White House, he does not consult with people. Do you accept I attack on Iraq, I invade to Iraq or not?
No,
he does what he wants without listening, hearing what people are saying.
Mm-hmm.
And is not defending the right of the nation or the right of the country. Is following interest of some trusts and cartels which are surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's good because it is in our benefit. We can sell our weapons and like this. Okay, go ahead. So he hears, but does not listen to the people, to the masses, to the majority of the nation, which are homeless, which are needy, which they cannot afford to pay back their loans. No, this is the present democracy. Never defending individuals or majority or masses. It's defending only some parts, some, for example, wealthy people, some rich people, some companies, some trusts and cartels.
Mm-hmm.
And Islamic democracy is not like that. Islamic democracy, first of all, the frame of it is not capitalism, is not, for example, secularism, is not liberalism, is Islam, the frame. And after that, an example is Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali says, I don't sleep at night, because maybe in the midnight, somebody needs me. I don't sleep in the midday, noontime, because somebody may need me in this moment. I don't eat to become full, because I know a lot of people in far areas, in borders of my country,
are hungry.
How can I be full and leave them hungry? So this is an Islamic governor. This is a democracy. And he listens to people. In the same moment, he listens to the complaint. He orders to give the right back to the owner of right, and does not let the person go and rest at home. Immediately writes the decree, the command, to, for example, the unjust governor be removed.
Of course.
Even one day is not patient with Muawiyah, because Muawiyah is not a judge and is not a qualified governor for Sham. They say, okay, wait 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, leave him later by some tricks, by some politics, you can remove him, you can omit him. He says, no, even 1 moment.
He cannot hesitate.
Yeah. I cannot be, for example, tolerant to him. Immediately he should be removed and dismissed from this post. This is a real democracy. If you want to find the real meaning, 100% true meaning of democracy, you can find in Islam. But the democracy which the population and the governor are Muslims, and the rulings of Islam is also taken in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of Western democracy, we don't find it real democracy. There are a lot of gaps, a lot of problems, a lot of dark points in it. Inshallah, if we can find time and chance, we will explain it. And even people of the West, now they are not satisfied with this so-called democracy.
Thank you very much, Dr. Barati. Thank you for your presence and for your nice explanations. We really made use of your explanations. And we hope to be at your service in our next program. Okay, we are approaching the end of this program. Thank you for your listening and joining us. Please contact us and send us your queries and questions. We'll be at your service. Don't forget our email, which is radiomaarif@irib.ir. Have a very good time. Goodbye.
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا علام الغيوب يا كشاف الكروب يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا علام الغيوب يا كشاف الكروب يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب